C3 family, welcome to New in 22 for Tuesday. And Matthew 19 is our chapter to read today. And we're going to talk about a passage in this chapter that is actually repeated in three of the Gospels. So I really like that. They're very, very similar in the three Gospels, but they have very minor differences in things that were said. Verse 16. Just then a man came up to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" I mean, this guy's asking Jesus like the most important question, isn't he? "Why do you ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied. "There's only one who is good. If you want to enter life, keep the commandments." Now, isn't it interesting that Jesus is saying there's only one who is good? I think Jesus is making a point here that this man needs to recognize that Jesus is God. There's only one that's good, and that's God. And Jesus is God in human flesh. I think Jesus is seeing if this man really knows who he truly is, the second part of the Trinity. So Jesus says, "If you want to enter life, keep the commandments." "Which one?" the man inquired. Jesus replied, "You shall not murder or commit adultery or steal or give false testimony. Honor your father and mother and love your neighbor as yourself." So Jesus is stating some of the very tenets of the Ten Commandments and faith in the Old Testament. "All these I have kept," the young man said. I bet he feels proud at this moment. And then he asked Jesus one more question. "What do I still lack?" I got to give the guy some props here, because he asked Jesus what he needed to do to get to heaven. And Jesus told him, and the guy could have said, "Okay, great, I'm following those things. I'm doing it right." But the man asked Jesus again, "So what am I lacking?" Now, if we turn over to Mark chapter 10, which is tomorrow's reading, there's a sentence interjected right here that I think is really important for us to think about. In Mark 10:21, right here at this exact spot when the man says, "What am I still lacking?" Jesus looked at him and loved him. That's what it says in Mark chapter 10, right there. Jesus looked at him and loved him. This man obviously wanted to do it right. He wanted to please God. Verse 21, Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven." One of the many times that Jesus specifies things that we can do to receive heavenly rewards. And then Jesus says, "Then come follow me." Verse 22, when the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. Now, I don't know if Jesus was calling him to like drop his nets like the fishermen and follow him, like actually, literally, physically follow him, or if he was just saying, "Follow my ways." But either way, the man went away sad because he was rich. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly I tell you, it's hard for someone who's rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." Now, this eye of a camel, there's different thoughts on this matter. There were small gaps in the walls around fortified cities back in Jesus's time that would just fit a person, or it could even fit a camel, but you'd have to totally take all of the baggage off of the camel, and then hopefully the camel would fit through. But pretty much saying it's impossible for the rich to get to heaven. If we look at this from the point of view of a sewing needle, then obviously trying to shove a camel through a sewing needle isn't going to happen. So this is pretty scary if we stop right here. Jesus is saying, in essence, it's impossible for a rich person to enter heaven. This should scare us, not just because
we might know someone who in America is what we would consider rich, the upper echelon of society when it comes to income. But if we think about this, we're far richer than any of those people, no matter what our tax bracket is in America. We are the richest nation in the history of the world, and we are in the top 5% of all of the wealth in the world as far as how rich Americans are, regardless of what we make for a living. So this should kind of scare us if we stop right here. Well, verse 25 gives us hope, and verse 26 gives us even more hope. When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." So Jesus is saying, yes, from a worldly point of view, it's impossible for the rich to get to heaven, but with God, all things are possible. You see, this man who came to Jesus this day, it wasn't the law that was blocking his transformation to be Christ-like. It was his money. So let's think about that today. What is the thing in our life that keeps us from having that relationship with Jesus that we know that we need to have? What's the one thing? Is it possessions? Do you hold on to your possessions too tight? We've been talking a lot about being extremely generous because we serve an extremely generous God and He calls us to be generous. Do you hold on to it? Do you put too much stock in your stocks? Do you put too much faith in what you own? If so, I think this is good for you to remember that we are not to have God and money as God. One or the other. You cannot serve, Jesus said in one of the other Gospels, you cannot serve both God and money. And so let's choose to serve God with everything that we have, because with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. I'll talk to you on Wednesday.